Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And this morning, we welcome back the chairman of the Climate Smart Glacier Country. We have Steve Thompson. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning, John.
And you have brought a guest with you this morning.
I have.
Yeah, Mariah, hi.
Hi.
Mariah is part of what we call the Energy Corps, Mariah Gladstone. And Mariah, you're a member of the Blackfeet tribe, right?
Yes.
Oh, boy. And you graduated from Glacier High School.
Yep.
Go Wolfpack.
This is the hometown. Go Wolfpack.
That's right. Talk with us a little bit about the Energy Corps and how you got involved.
Yeah, Energy Corps is a branch of AmeriCorps. It's ran through the National Center for Appropriate Technology down in Butte. And it's young people that are dedicating a year of their life to service in different communities. I was lucky enough to get to come back home for mine, but working in sustainability and efficiency fields.
Okay. And so you're working with Steve and the folks in Whitefish, too.
Yep. I am the Energy Corps member for the city of Whitefish.
What do you get to do for those guys?
Oh, we've got to do a lot of stuff this year. we helped finalize Whitefish's climate action plan, but I also get to work alongside the school district and a lot of the sustainability initiatives that they have going up, including helping out at their new Center for Sustainability and Entrepreneurship at the high school.
How far are you now into your term with the Energy Corps?
I'll be done at the end of August.
Okay, so you've had a great experience then, huh?
Yes, it's been great.
And would you recommend it for other people?
For sure. They're looking for a new sustainability person for Whitefish and also up in West Glacier as well.
How do you get involved in something like that?
You can apply through AmeriCorps, but I believe that NCAT also has their applications available online on their website.
Okay.
So, yeah, actually, if you go to the energycorps.com or energycorps.org, Google Energy Corps.
Something.
And they've got both the Whitefish and Glacier National Park positions listed. They just got posted, and those are positions that will start in October.
Now, who is eligible to apply?
I believe they have members that are high school graduates, but recommended that people have a bachelor's degree. It's a great opportunity for young people that are looking to get into the workforce, especially working in sustainability in Montana.
Okay, right. So now you graduated from Glacier.
Yes.
That was what, about 4 years ago?
It was about 7 years ago.
Oh, really?
Okay, all right.
You look young still.
And then you went to college.
Yes.
Where'd you go?
I went to Columbia University. I have an engineering degree from there.
From Columbia?
Yes.
In New York City?
Yes.
Oh, tell me about that experience.
Oh, that was definitely a culture shock for sure. But of course, I was lucky enough to come back home. So.
And I'm curious to know where you live. I lived in New York for a couple of years, so I'm curious to know what neighborhood you lived in.
Yeah, I was just on the Upper West Side, Morningside Heights.
Oh, okay, up on the Upper West Side. Ooh, yes. That's the new area.
That's Columbia.
What did you think about Columbia as an institution?
It was obviously very difficult and challenging, mm-hmm. but it was something that I enjoyed, and I was lucky enough to be exposed to community members from all over the world. I can safely say I can couch surf in over half of the countries on the planet. But it was great, and I think it really exposed me, helped get me out of my bubble, and then, of course, gave me experiences that I can bring back home.
What I found about Columbia in my time in New York, I knew a lot of professors at Columbia, and I found them to be intellectually somewhere else.
Yes.
They were just way, way, way beyond what I had ever experienced as a Montana native. And of course, I'd worked in some big cities too. But Columbia is just, it's up there, isn't it? How in the world did you even get into Columbia?
I applied.
She's smart. Yeah. She's smart, John.
Yeah. She's smart. I wasn't suggesting that you weren't. I just wondered if, you know, I mean, just even applying to a college like that is gutsy.
Yeah, I applied early decision, which was a binding agreement, basically. Said, if you get in, you got to go here. So I didn't honestly expect to get in. I had a couple of other applications filled out, but I made it, and I knew where I was going to go by December of my senior year.
Wow, that's fantastic. Excellent. And your degree is in?
Environmental engineering.
Environmental engineering. So you're doing exactly what you want to do, aren't you?
Yep, it's great.
So what happens now after your year with the Energy Corps?
I'll be looking for more sustainability work, hopefully staying in the valley, but I don't have a plan for that yet. So that's where I'm going.
So a definition of environmental engineering would be being a good steward of what we've got, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things within the field of environmental engineering. Mine specifically deals with alternative energy and renewables development, but also can focus on work within water treatment systems, remediation, solid and hazardous waste management, things like that. There's a lot of the things that fall under the umbrella of environmental.
Okay, you brought a lot to the table for Whitefish, didn't you?
I'm hoping they're pleased with me.
I believe they are. We'll talk with Steve here next about the sort of things that Whitefish Energy Corps members are doing in Whitefish and in Glacier. And joining us this morning, Steve Thompson and Mariah Gladstone. So, Steve, let's move over to you now and talk with us a little bit about what Whitefish Energy Corps members have been doing now in Whitefish and in Glacier.
So Mariah was our second Energy Corps person, and our first one last year was really working, sort of got us started, and we worked with the City Council, and they made a commitment to do a Whitefish Climate Action Plan. So when Mariah came on in October, we were like full into it. And, you know, this is a plan that deals with sort of three different things. One is, you know, looking at energy. What can we do to conserve energy, make buildings more efficient? You know, we're developing a new wastewater treatment plant. So how can we make that as energy efficient and water efficient as possible? Then we're also looking at the other part of the energy equation, which is renewable energy. And so that's a big thing that came out of the Climate Action Plan is we have this ambition to develop, I think it will be Montana's largest community solar project. It'll be associated with the wastewater treatment plant. And so we're in sort of a pre-feasibility assessment on that. That's going to be part of the next Energy Corps position. Mariah's been working on that. We're getting things teed up. It's in the plan. The City Council says we want to do it. Now we got to figure out how we're going to do it. So that'll be part of the next Energy Corps person. Comes on in October. So Mariah will leave in August and move on to greener, bigger pastures and become a superstar. And then we'll be looking, you know, then there'll be a month off and we'll have a new person coming on.
How in the world are you going to replace Mariah?
Well, we're not. But hey, you want to come back? These Energy Corps people, you know, sort of like Peace Corps internationally, it's our domestic AmeriCorps program, which is a great program. We got, you know, young people working in schools with kids on through the Food Corps program. We got that around the state. There's something called Resilience Corps, which has been working with some of the tribal nations, focused in on how do we maintain resilient communities. They don't get paid a whole lot. You know, we're really grateful to have them for a year. They get, you know, a little bit of extra money in a bank for future education if they want to go on and get a master's degree. It's highly competitive. I do want to encourage anybody out there that think those young person maybe is, you know, grew up here and went off to college. It is competitive to get these positions, but we're going to be looking for good applicants. And
I'll bet it looks mighty good on a resume.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and it's public service, you know, we've sort of, I think it's an important part of our culture to have for young people to be involved in public service of one sort or another, whether it's the military or whether it's, you know, domestic involvement and working in the schools or whatever.
I've got a friend named Jack Gladstone.
That would be my dad.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding.
No.
Oh, wow.
That's my dad.
He is one of my favorite people.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm sure he'll be.
Wow, I just made that connection, and I don't know why. Wow.
He's in Iceland right now, so he's not listening. But
yeah, he could be listening to it online.
Yeah, he could be.
He's probably sleeping.
Wow. Probably sleeping. Good point.
It's a little different time zone there. Yeah. What is he doing in Iceland?
It's his honeymoon.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, he sure picked a wonderful place and a great time of the year. The Northern Lights are dancing up there now.
Yep. Yeah,
boy,
I'm sure he'll have lots of stories when he gets back.
Yeah, I'll bet. But we digress, all right? Steve, one of the things that fascinates me about whitefish and their energy, their commitment to energy and renewable energy, is, they built a new city hall,
mm-hmm.
and they were very careful about that.
Yep, that was a priority, yep.
Mm-hmm.
We've sort of made mistakes in the past. A lot of places have, you know.
Sure.
And this happened, and this came out when we were doing the Climate Action Plan. We did an energy audit looking at the Emergency Services Building, which is a pretty new building, you know, within the last 10 years. And, boy, the ambition was to build it to be energy efficient. But, you know, you get down to those deadlines, and you got the budget constraints, and the first thing to get cut is sometimes it's that energy efficiency.
Yeah.
And that is what happened in that case. And that's now we're going back and doing some retrofits. It's better to do it right up front rather than
sure.
to retrofit it, or to pay extra month after month after month forever for energy costs. A lot of times, you know, when you're doing a construction project like this, it's easier to cut corners there because the people that make those decisions aren't the ones that are going to be paying the energy bills 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So we've, you know, hopefully that is the way the new city hall has been done, with an eye toward the future. Make that investment up front so that we get it right.
Renewable energy and environmental science is a moving target right now. I mean, things are happening and happening rapidly. What do you see in the future, Mariah?
Oh, I think there's a lot of potential for solar energy to really make big expansions. But there's also companies that are doing really innovative things in order to make renewables more feasible. Look up in Columbia Falls and you have a local company, Vision, doing grid-scale batteries. So there are things happening, and that includes right here in this valley. So
the Achilles heel in solar energy, from my understanding, is the battery, the storage. We got to store that energy. Are we making progress in that?
There's some progress being made. There hasn't been too many huge battery jumps or technology jumps within the battery field, but they're working on it. I think that's really what we need to solve, because the technology for the actual photovoltaics has dramatically improved and, of course, is getting cheaper. So people are now finding it a lot more feasible to install solar panels.
Well, Robin's going to ask you about the Blackfeet Climate Adaption Plan. We'll do that right after this.
Our guest this morning, Climate Smart Glacier Country's chairman, Steve Thompson, and Energy Corps member, Mariah Gladstone. And Mariah, what is the Blackfeet Climate Adaption Plan? Or is that too broad of a topic?
Well, I didn't have a hand in writing it like I did with the Whitefish Climate Action Plan, but the Blackfeet Nation did their own climate adaptation plan and finished it about the same time that Whitefish did. So it has a lot of the same components, but it also gets into some of the agricultural aspects.
Okay. Well, do you, what more about it? What are the elements of the plan?
So the Blackfeet Nation has recognized that climate change is going to have an impact on the lifeways of the community, and that includes everything from farming and ranching in the rural areas of the reservation to some of the more cultural aspects and the impact that a changing climate will have on our traditional plants that we have used in ceremonies, the animals in the area, of course, the waterways and our sources of water, and has made goals and set strategies to help the community adapt to those changes over time.
Okay, now that's interesting because Blackfeet area is very agricultural based and in harmony with the environment, depends on the environment. Maybe, you know, people in cities aren't quite as aware because they turn on the light switch and, you know, open the spigot on the faucet and take these things for granted. Is there a connection? Now, what is the Indigic Kitchen?
So I also run an online cooking show dedicated to revitalizing traditional Indigenous foods.
Okay.
It's in order to get people more excited about food sovereignty and eating locally, especially on reservations where are, of course, living in food deserts. I have started this online cooking show in order to get people more excited about that.
Okay. So is there a connection between that and the climate adaptation plan?
Well, of course, recognizing the foods that our ancestors have eaten for thousands of years is helpful in not only finding nutritious ways to nourish oneself, especially when you're miles and miles away from a grocery store, but also in recognizing how to take care of those things for future generations in the face of climate change.
Okay, now what are some of these foods? I mean, you know,
Robin's
I'm
a food
tantalized
guy.
Now, you know, what could I eat?
Well, of course, you're familiar with the berries in the area. We got huckleberries. On the other side, there's also lots of sarvice berries. There's also thimbleberries, of course. But then there's a lot of other edible plants, which includes everything from nettles to fireweed. Spruce tips are really good this time of year when they're nice and soft, full of vitamin C. And then, of course, lots of edible roots. There's wild turnips. There's camas bulbs. There's bitter roots, which have also been eaten. So lots of plants that grow that we don't always recognize as food.
Okay,
how do you prepare a bitter root?
It's actually not that bitter, but you can make it in a soup with berries.
Really?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, very high
now,
in complex
you know, it's
carbs.
Interesting. You mentioned fireweed. That's the what color? It's purplish, right?
Yeah, they're those beautiful pink flowers you see, and you'll find them everywhere. But the entire plant is edible. The shoots can be steamed just like asparagus. They call it wild asparagus
really? Sometimes.
Wow. And then the flowers, leaves, the whole plant is edible. A lot of people will make jelly out of the flowers, and it's a really beautiful, vibrant pink jelly.
See, now that's good to know because I would think it was a weed because of the name.
No,
right?
I would think, maybe I've mistaken it as a toxic weed.
Oh, no, it's everywhere and it's a wildflower.
Wow.
Here, so
I love it.
If you're looking for edible flowers. For
See, things. Robin, there you go.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about the berries, though. Do you make desserts or what kind of things do you make with it?
So berry soup is a traditional food for Blackfeet. It's, of course, it's made with sarvice berries, but it can be made adding blood as well. But it can also just be kind of a sweet, thick berry soup, which is high in that fiber and carbs from those berries.
What does blood do for it?
Just adds protein.
A little salt? Salty taste?
No, it's not too salty, but it just kind of acts as a thickener for stuff.
Wow.
So bloodberry soup. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I understood that in the Indian culture, no part of the buffalo was wasted. Somebody told me that once, and I thought, wow.
Yeah, Blackfeet definitely use all parts of buffalo, and part of that still is maintained today. The tribe has a bison herd of about 2,300, and those bison, when they're slaughtered, are still taken care of in that traditional way, and there's nothing left behind.
Wow. Boy, this has been a great conversation. We got just about everything in, and Robin got his food in, too.
Yeah.
There we go.
So we're happy here.
I'm hungry.
Mariah Gladstone, thank you so much, and Steve Thompson, as always, thank you.
Nice to see you, John.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping you connected to your friends and your community is an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender. I hope you'll plan on joining us again tomorrow for Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. And here's KGEZ's exclusive AccuWeather forecast.